public safety point of view. I can... What I could suggest you might want to do, which would be even more evocative of ideas, is get a couple of groups of these people just to sit around in a big room and just talk back and forth. Because one name keys another, and you know, things are going to happen. For example, they built the gymnasium, which was back in mid-60s, and they came in one Monday morning to find the pool empty. And they couldn't figure out what happened to all the water because they filled it up again and came in to find the pool empty. And it took quite some investigation to find out that the contractor had not put the ring around the drain, so all the water was going down outside the pipe instead of, you know, the way it should go. Because they had closed off the pipe and all the water was going down outside. I'm surprised that the thing didn't just float away. It speaks well for our drainage. Other than that, if we had want to key me on questions.
Well, let's see.
John Toll was a very astute college president. In all things he did, he knew exactly what he wanted, and he was smart enough to get what he wanted without being muddied. I mean, he was castigated for being all sorts of people, but for our growth stage, he was probably the right man in the right place at the right time. Many of the decisions that were really his, he did not have to accept responsibility for it because of the way he set up his administration. I think Sheldon Ackley took a lot of heat for Johnny Toll in terms of some unpopular decisions. And
can you be specific? Do you happen to?
Sheldon Ackley has the reputation on campus was he was the hatchet man, the axe man. He did all of John Toll's dirty work. And for whatever reason, I don't know if you want to call it a Teflon presidency, but Ackley took the heat for things that happened, which everyone was quite sure was a Toll decision. Most deputies and assistants too don't do things on their own hook. I mean, the Poindexters and the Norths of our life are really anomalies. They're not the usual way people work. And besides, in those days, we were a little more naive in terms of we didn't go for deniability. John Toll set the basic agenda for the institution, and he let his people carry it forward, which is probably the best way to do it. But this institution, the way it developed, is very much a creature of John Toll.
He had his problems up in Albany, getting
building
and staff and so on.
Once Rockefeller left,
yeah,
which we can thank Watergate for, basically we're at the mercy of the succeeding administrations. And just in broad, general terms, my perception is that there's a certain swell of anti-intellectual activity that's going around the country, that the quote, the egghead is suspect, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
So, to have an institution that's one of the premier institutions in the country and not fund it and say, we're not giving you any more money or sink or swim with what you got, instead of being creative and saying, how can we continue this? Let's bring everyone down to the mediocre level. And unfortunately, that seems to be the current administration's point of view. Everything needs a champion, and higher education in this state needs a champion. And it doesn't seem to be in the governor's office right now.
No. Kerry? Another one? Well, you say if you had to do it over again, you would do it the same way. In other words, you would
come here.
Sure, come here. I'd be a little more aware of problems, but basically, what you had to do had to be done in the way it was done. If we stopped and waited to dot all the I's and cross all the T's as good practice requires, we'd still be, you know, looking at mud in the ground type of thing.
Did you have anything to do with Steve
Kowalik?
No, Elwin Stevens. In architecture and the construction fund.
No. That was mainly EJ and Toll and yourself probably more than
EJ.
Capello.
Capello.
Cappy.
Yeah.
Lou Vincent, that's the other name I could have looked at.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
He's, I believe, passed away since.
Did he?
I believe so.
Is that right?
It's hard to keep track of this. What a suggestion I made, which is being considered for a number of years, is there should be an alumni chapter for former employees, former faculty. We do it for students, why not do it, keep contact with people. I mean, I look at this list of people you've spoken to, and some have gone on to bigger and better things, some haven't, some are retired. They might be interested in what's going on campus and vice versa. I was amazed to learn of Stan Ross's death. No information was given. I would communicate with him every once in a while, and then I learned that he had passed away. It's the same problem that exists on the campus. There's a fair amount of compartmentalization here, and you don't know that people are ill or people have, you know, reached milestones, and you discover it too much time after it's happened.
I think that's a good idea. Very good idea.
Another one, a couple of additional names is Alan Entine, who's still active.
Is he here?
Yeah, he's over in Human Resources. I don't know, you might want to, for former people who are still around, Charlie Gulo is still around, the purchasing agent.
Do you know whereabouts?
He lives out in Riverhead somewhere.
Riverhead?
Yeah. There's probably the book.
One of the things that I regret is the death of Dave Price. He was vice president for personnel in the central office and a very strong supporter of Stony Brook. Very strong. He enabled us to get Alfred Kazin, and in order to do that, he persuaded the Bureau of the Budget and his own people to create a new class of distinguished professor. We had to do that in order to break the salary scale.
Well, quite frankly, a dangerous admission to make. When I first came here, I came as a classified employee, and I was not too happy with the system of having the NTPs and the SGs, because once again there seemed to be that demarcation between the types.
NTP,
non-teaching professional.
Non-teaching professional.
Yeah, the old U grades as opposed to the SG grades.
Yes.
I could see it with faculty, because faculty were faculty. I could not see it with the business administration types. Because running an institution basically is running an institution, that the skills and techniques of an auditor, accountant, personnel clerk would be the same within the state system. However, we grow and learn as we get older. And it's obvious that one of the things that was lacking, which goes back to a point I said before, was the, for political purposes, the continuation of this separation. If the university had a general policy, a general statement, a code saying that this is an institution of higher education, the state system, and unique to higher education are certain problems which cannot be resolved by the fact that you're going to have a clerk and a clerk and a clerk, but you need someone with imagination, someone with additional abilities, that everyone on this campus is part of the same system. I mean, I've been to other schools, private and public, where it's the same system, that a clerk is at the bottom of the scale because that's where clerks usually start, and the managers are a little higher up and that's where they are, and the faculty is here, and sometimes the administrators make more than the faculty, and so on and so forth. But it's one system. There's one type of employee, an employee of the university. You can have a lot of different unions and all that sort of stuff, but basically we have the SG classifications.
SG standing for?
State grades.
State grades.
It's the old thing. And because of the recognition of various unions, now you have gradations within gradations. That the professional accountant, who's doing basically the same work as the account clerk classified, may get different salaries. It's just almost chaos. So if they had, back at the beginning, rather than try to establish the differentiation between faculty, academic mission, non-faculty support mission, if they had blurred those lines to make it one system, we'd be a lot better off. We'd get better employees for our money. Because now you take an SG, and an SG will become an NTP. No vice versa, but they will be treated differently. The benefits package are the same, but they're not the same. The salary is the same, but it's not the same. I think that was something that should have been done a long time ago, to clarify that this is an institution of higher education, and the problems to it are unique, which means that the entire staff should be classified under the same standards.
Well, that's, I think, due to the fact that you had a state bureaucracy dating way back, and you had no people in the central administration who understood why a university is different from the Department of Agriculture, Department of Commerce, or the Bureau of Prisons, or Audit and Control, or all of the other state departments.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody understood that. And sooner or later, I think the difference differences will be understood. But as long as you have people who have grown up in the New York State system and are not coming in from outside where the understandings are different, you're going to have troubles. Take California system. Berkeley is over 100 years old, and out of Berkeley has come the 9 other institutions in the same mold. patriarch has been in some instances leaders in one field or another. But in the case of education, it's again tagging along.
Of course, the other problem, and it's funny I should be saying this, but too many people on campus don't know how to manage, don't know how to supervise. When they run into problems of management or supervision, or they run into employees that are difficult, and there doesn't seem to be they make the system work against clearing out the deadwood. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate, but they will give bad advice, they will give improper advice, they will procrastinate, which makes problems for the administrator on campus. I think the entire personnel system, the way it's operated, needs an overhaul. But that's for our interview in another 25 years.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you coming in very much. And I will make a point of trying to get some of these other people. I don't know who's going to write this, but right now I have my own writing to do, so it won't be me.
Is this going to be like the Congressional Record? Remarks in extenuation.
What's that?
I say remarks that we can go in and edit out.
Did you go edit out?
Yeah, sure.
Well, what do you mean?
We're going to make a transcription of this?
Yes, we're going to make a transcription of it.
I will stand by what I say.
I'm not doing this, and I don't think Jerry Schubel wants me to do this as a whitewash of the institution.
No.
I think the achievements are sufficiently strong to stand. The difficulties are there to be looked at and wondered about, and the overall fact is that the place is still in existence and doing reasonably well. In fact, the institutions that started after World War II, this and San Diego are probably the best examples. And it's due to individuals like you, Johnny. Alec.
Have you, I see you don't have costume on this.
I don't, no.
He's still in New Hyde Park.
I
on
should
the
have
island.
Him. Yeah. I should have him.
And one of the Drossel, for that matter, who's also here for quite some time.
D-R-O-E-S-S-E-L. Remember the start of the bowling? Probably we had started it before you came.
Yeah. Is Bob Boyka still around? He was one of the original bowlers.
I don't know.
From the chemistry, I think he was.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And who else was... You have a number of people in purchasing who've also been here quite some time, still.
Wenio?
Steve Wenio.
Yeah, Wenio.
Well, Mary Wenio was retired recently. She's been here some time.
He was quite a bowler.
He still bowls. Mary Allen is still available. She worked with the registrar for quite some time. Bob Cyphers, I noticed you don't have down here, who was in the registrar's office. I think he went to Columbia. C-Y-P-H-E-R-S.
C-Y-P-H.
E-R-S.
Cyphers. Okay, I don't know how many of these I can get, but I will try. It takes a lot of doing sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sure Gil Strachbein maintains contact with people from the registrar's area.
Uh-huh.
Way back when. I'm trying to remember. I have to look it up. I can't remember where the registrar's office was when I first came here. People got registered, but I'm not quite sure where they came from.
Where they came from. I don't remember. See, I retired in 71. Yeah, August 31st. Bentley and I retired at the same time. Because we're the same age to the day.
A couple other names. I don't know for whatever it's worth, but Don Ackerman.
Don Ackerman.
Yeah. He may not be willing to speak. He was the one who was accused shortly after I was and found guilty of various deprecations.
Oh, in
research. Yeah. Related. Mike Dempsey is another one you might want to speak to. Though he may be a little bitter. And he's over in the area still.
Who is the Italian over with the power plant? I think his first name was Joe. Short, stocky. He bowled.
No.
Well, never mind.
There's a couple of people still on plant who've been here. Marilyn Zucker over in Human Resources can provide you with a list of the long-term employees. Or for that matter, probably Ann Falkman's office can give that to you. Mm-hmm. Of the people who've been here for 20, 25 years.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.